In our house, we speak Portuguese, but we have translation for the English. Wir können auch auf Deutsch, aber meine Kollegen würden bestimmt nicht verstehen, was ich sage und was wir sagen. So sprechen wir Portugiesisch und es gibt eine Übersetzung für Deutsch. Senhor Embaixador, muito obrigado por ter vindo. Estamos na Comissão de Negócios Estrangeiros, nós somos coordenadores. Gostava de lhe apresentar os meus colegas que me acompanham nesta audiência. Sou vice-presidente da Comissão de Negócios Estrangeiros, simultaneamente deputado do CDS-PP. Sr. Deputada Mónica Ferro, pelo PSD, e o Sr. Deputado Paulo Pisco, pelo Partido Socialista. São os três partidos que estão representados, dois deles do governo, um que já foi governo há pouco tempo. Agradecemos a vinda. Tenho a certeza que tem muito para nos transmitir a propósito do processo de paz no Médio Oriente. E, neste contexto, sugeria que lhe passássemos a palavra no sentido de se pronunciar sobre este tema. Depois, quem quiser usar a palavra poderá fazê-lo e assim, de alguma forma, estabelecemos aqui uma reunião de trabalho de forma que seja profícua e que possa também libertá-lo para as atividades que tenha presentes. Neste contexto, be my guest. Your word.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Deputy Chairman. Vielen Dank, mich in meiner Heimatsprache begrüßen zu dürfen. Ich bestaune, wie gut Sie Deutsch sprechen. First, I'm very honored to have the opportunity to talk to you. The Parliament, and we can really see this now in the context of the democratic development in the Arab region, the Parliament is a representative of the people, and you are our masters, and as I said before, I'm civil servant 12 hours a day and citizen 24 hours a day. And I think this is very important to recognize this. So I'm very honored to have the opportunity to talk to you and express my humble views on the situation. You have the big responsibility to decide, and I very much acknowledge this responsibility which you have. On the Middle East, I think we are in a entering in a new phase. We have said this at many formal occasions, but I think we are now indeed in a situation. There are three new areas which we see. One is the Arab upheaval, the movement in the Arab world, which brings us to a new strategic arrangement in the region. Let's say strategic movement. I could not say exactly what the strategic movements are, but the alliances change. Turkey is no longer a friend of Israel. Egypt is approaching Iran, although they have still a big fight. Saudi Arabia has, strange enough, some similar interests with Israel because they are afraid, both are afraid of a possible Iranian nuclear weapon. So we do see things are moving. Syria is the best or the worst example because all those various movements are present in Syria and it's very difficult to see how the outcome is. So there is a new strategic situation which is new. Secondly, we do understand that the situation in Israel and in the Palestinian territories are changing and getting away from a two-state solution. The foreign ministers of the European Union have stated this in their conclusions in May, where they said we fear that this two-state solution is in danger. It is a danger particularly because of the settlement activities, increased settlement activities, which you can observe going in the territory. I think we can say that, and we don't need to be a particularly sophisticated analyst, if you go into the territory and see the patchwork, this is certainly unable to be a state which needs automatically to be governed a coherent territory, any state in the world. We're getting away from this, and since May the situation has not improved, but it has become even worse because right now we're adding an economic and financial problem to the state building process, and we see that this has also led to the current demonstrations in the Palestinian territories, which are new. So the state, the two-state solution is in danger because of the settlement situation, but also increasingly because of the financial situation. Number three, increasingly we have to realize that this conflict and our south is a conflict which settlement is in our fundamental European interests. The European Union has said this for the first time in the statement of May 2012. Originally, we were always, and all the member states were always associated with either one state, one side, or the other side. I think we have to look at it in a holistic way. We have to look at it and say, what is in our European interest? And I do think that we believe that we find a common denominator. Some member states have may have one interest, other states have other interests, but there is a common ground of a joint interest, which I think we have to define. I don't think we should let get drawn into this approach, are you for us, are you against us? This is what happened to me when I was down there. And constantly the question, I said, no, I'm European. It's for us, we need a settlement, and we want you to make the settlement because it's in our interest. So I think these three points are something which I would raise in the beginning, and I think we are at a moment when we all have to think how to continue. And why is it new? Next year we have 20 years of Oslo Agreement. Next year we have 20 years of what they call the AHLC, which is the donor, the meeting of the donors. 20 years, we were paying more than 5 billion euro as a European Union only, not to forget the member states, over 20 years, for the establishment of a Palestinian state. I think we are at the moment when you have to say, where's the result? We want a result now. And I think we Europeans should be self-confident to come out with this position. This is what I would like to start to say as a first introduction.
Muito obrigado pelas suas informações, de alguma forma preocupantes. Gostaríamos que nos tivesse trazido um quadro mais favorável, mas é o que é o que a realidade nos traz. Em seguida, gostaria de dar a palavra aos meus colegas, a começar pelo Partido Social Democrata, a senhora deputada Mónica Ferro.
Muito boa tarde, bem-vindo à Comissão de Negócios Estrangeiros. Este tema é um tema que nos tem ocupado muito à Comissão de Negócios Estrangeiros. Nós ainda há uns poucos meses atrás recebemos o Sr. Embaixador Mansour, que veio exatamente discutir a possibilidade de Portugal receber uma reunião do Comitê das Nações Unidas para a questão da Palestina, e também veio suscitar outras questões, como, por exemplo, até a possibilidade, dentro do Parlamento Português, de poder criar um grupo de deputados, um grupo informal, portanto, sem existência jurídica, mas um grupo informal de deputados que estão particularmente interessados na resolução deste problema, nomeadamente apelando a uma ação do governo português de um apoio mais firme à criação de um Estado palestiniano. Isto foram as propostas que ele nos pôs em cima da mesa, foi o que nós discutimos, e posso lhe dizer que é um dos temas que na Comissão dos Negócios Estrangeiros anima as reuniões. É de facto um tema muito, muito premente. Estes dados que nos traz aqui são dados interessantes que nos ajudam a pensar a questão, mas eu gostava de lhe perguntar se a União Europeia se está a preparar para reagir se a Palestina decidir avançar com o pedido de upgrade do Estatuto na Assembleia Geral, agora na próxima reunião, se a União Europeia vai recomendar aos Estados-membros uma posição, porque quando foi a questão do pedido de admissão na Unesco, nós tivemos um debate no nosso Parlamento e a questão de Portugal se ter abstido, entendendo que era esse o voto europeu, foi muito criticada pelos partidos da oposição, estão no seu direito, como é evidente, defendiam, sobretudo o Bloco de Esquerda e o PCP, que Portugal devia ter votado a favor da admissão, que se confirmou. Nós tivemos até que fazer alguma pedagogia no Parlamento e explicar que ser admitido na Unesco não é o mesmo que ser admitido na Organização das Nações Unidas. Aliás, um erro comum que o Sr. Embaixador deve ter ouvido vezes sem conta é esta ideia de que se tiverem um upgrade na Assembleia Geral das Nações Unidas, que isso equivale a um processo de admissão plena, como no Conselho de Segurança, e já agora, pensando no Conselho de Segurança, se nos pode dizer mais qualquer coisa sobre qual é que é o estado do pedido de admissão da Palestina no Conselho de Segurança. Eu sei que do Comitê de Admissões não houve um relatório que recomendasse uma ação concreta, mas tinha muita curiosidade se me pudesse dizer mais qualquer coisa sobre isto. E desculpe o elevado número de questões, mas é de facto um tema muito interessante e a sua intervenção suscitou-me estas reflexões todas.
Let me start with United Nations General Assembly, or as the terminology is, UNGA. But it's not very beautiful, but it's a terminology. We are not preparing for a European position at this moment because we don't know a European position for what. When I was in Ramallah a week ago, or 10 days ago, I met with President Abbas and obviously asked him this question. And his line was the following. He said, I have decided to apply for a non-member status in the United Nations in the General Assembly already last year. And I'm willing to pursue this path. But I understand that at the moment, there are other issues which are more important, in particular Syria, in brackets. He didn't mention the United States, brackets. And I don't think that it is a good approach to put this request for a vote this year or at this General Assembly. But we will start to have consultations during the General Assembly this year. And when I asked him, when do you want to go for a vote? I say, we'll have to decide maybe before the American election, then this came in, or maybe after the elections. We don't exactly know. We haven't made up our mind yet. So I think that's where it is. So, in other words, it's difficult to say on what we have to have a position because we need to have a text. Our understanding in this position, he said, I will maintain if the Arab League Follow-Up Committee will support this position. Now, he went to the Arab League Follow-Up Committee a week ago on the 6th of September, and of course the Arab League Follow-Up Committee supported him in this position, so this is now an Arab position. We have to see how this develops, because there is a certain uncertainty, and the certain uncertainty is that people say the consultations may mean consultations on a text. If we start to have consultation on the text, then it's very difficult because you don't know what happens with the text, because we all know that there is an automatic majority in the General Assembly for something. So if some people decide we put it for a vote tomorrow, even the Palestinians, if they don't want to do it, they don't have a choice. Then we obviously have to see. If it is consultations on the general substance, it's a different situation. So this is unclear, and the contacts which we had up to now are not very clear on this. My understanding is not on a text, but as we know, the situation may change. So I think we all have to be a little bit careful. How will be the future? I think, how would be a vote in the UN? My experiences after the contacts is that the split will be rather bigger than last year among the European Unions. I think if we wait of our own interest, I think first of all we should have a unified vote in the United in among Europeans, and my guess is the best thing which we can get is abstention. I'm not sure whether this will happen in the end because it's not on the table yet, so we don't know on what, etc. So we have to see. But I would see it as more important for us as Europeans, for our own position worldwide, to come with a unified position than rather something different. This is out of the only Middle East context, but I think we should, think a little bit, obviously, in a larger context. But again, I don't know where we're standing. And this is what they're telling the Palestinians. They also asked me, how would the EU vote? And I said, look, this is my impression, but we have to see. But last year, it might have been more votes in your favor. This time, I think it will be less, probably more abstentions and more people against it. So I think as Europeans, if ever, should go for an abstention. So this is the one thing. The second thing is, which I would say, also, if you are talking in Parliament on this, I'm afraid also after dealing with this issue since a long time that we have the tendency to get lost over minor issues. And I'm not sure whether, in view of the strategic developments we have seen, whether we should not start to say, look, it's time now to really come to a final settlement. It's easy to speak about projects in Area C. We have 4 solar projects, 1 school, and this, you know, €10,000 worth here, €20,000 worth here. And you see elected foreign ministers and members of parliament dealing with projects like this. Come on, that's not serious. I think we have to get back to what really we want. I think we really have to go towards a settlement of the conflict, and I think we should urge people to say, look, it's 20 years now. It's a hard time. We want to have a two-state solution. This is what we want from you. And that's why I come back to this issue of interest. If people say, yeah, but you push us and you push us, I wouldn't say we don't care, but I say we should look at this. People, it's our interest, and we want you to do this. And we can develop this, obviously, in more details, but I think we have to go in this direction, particularly as next year we have 20 years of Oslo. And we have, everybody will come up with the questions. What did you do? And how will we justify, just as European Union, €436 million for the next year, the year after, and the year after? I think it's very difficult. So I think we have to be honest with ourselves and also put up our positions towards the Israelis and also towards the Palestinians, because you know, nobody is an angel in this context.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Embaixador. Eu apreciei bastante a forma como colocou as questões. Aprecio bastante a determinação da União Europeia para que haja resultados. Eu acho que isso é o mais importante, que haja resultados. Há muito tempo que estes resultados são esperados. E a verdade é que a ausência destes resultados tem levado a que este conflito, que é central nas relações geopolíticas em termos globais, que afetam as relações entre todos os países, continua por resolver, de uma maneira que já começa um pouco a envergonhar o mundo, digamos as coisas desta forma. Não faz nenhum sentido que este conflito, que é o mais antigo que existe, não esteja ainda resolvido. E eu tenho que confessar ao Sr. Embaixador que este assunto terá sempre de ser discutido, teremos de nos sentar sempre à mesa e tentar arranjar soluções, mas eu perdi um pouco a fé, verdadeiramente, na capacidade de haver interlocutores que possam ajudar à resolução do conflito. E é por isso que quando a União Europeia, que tem feito grandes esforços, sobretudo em termos financeiros e até como mediador, mas eu vejo sempre a União Europeia como um elemento mais fraco neste contexto de tentativa de redução do processo de paz israelo-palestiniano do Médio Oriente, porque isto tem uma influência regional bastante grande. E eu gostaria que, de facto, como o Sr. Embaixador disse, que houvesse resultados. E seria bom para os israelitas, para os palestinianos, para toda a região, para todo o mundo, para os Estados Unidos, para todo o mundo. Seria fundamental que isso, de facto, acontecesse. Mas isso depende, em grande medida, parece-me a mim, de outros fatores. Depende muito de Israel e depende muito dos Estados Unidos, que são os principais atores, os atores que têm realmente força para a resolução do conflito. E eu tenho muitas dúvidas que tanto um como o outro estejam determinados a dar os passos que são necessários para que o conflito possa ser resolvido de uma vez por todas e para bem de todos. Eu gostaria, para não me adiantar mais, eventualmente poderemos trocar mais algumas impressões sobre estas questões, eu gostaria de colocar ao Sr. Embaixador 4 tipos de questões. Quando diz que queremos resultados, e isso de facto é um elemento fundamental, de que forma é que a União Europeia pensa que estes resultados podem ser atingidos? Portanto, esta é a primeira questão. A segunda questão tem a ver com aquilo que o Sr. Embaixador referiu sobre o momento de transformação em todos os países que estão a viver a Primavera Árabe. E eu confesso que quando vejo o que está a acontecer, não consigo perceber se a evolução será positiva ou negativa para a resolução do conflito israelo-palestiniano. Eu neste momento não consigo perceber se isso é positivo ou negativo e gostaria de ouvir a opinião do Sr. Embaixador sobre este aspecto também. Há um elemento fundamental que tem a ver com os Estados Unidos e com as eleições nos Estados Unidos. Todos nós sabemos que as eleições nos Estados Unidos, por exemplo, nós vimos o que aconteceu com o Presidente Obama, que entrou com toda a determinação para ajudar à resolução do conflito e agora retirou-se quase completamente de uma capacidade de fazer aquelas transformações que são necessárias dentro da sociedade americana para que possa ter força para que o conflito se resolva na região. Portanto, e não será, certamente, como o Sr. Embaixador sabe, não será a mesma coisa ganhar os democratas ou ganhar os republicanos, mas no fundo é uma questão de grau das dificuldades que existem em todo esse processo. Será, na minha opinião, mais difícil com os republicanos do que com os democratas. Embora com os democratas tenha sido difícil, agora imagine-se com os republicanos. E uma outra questão que eu gostaria de colocar ao Sr. Embaixador é quais são as condições que acha que têm de existir para que a Palestina possa ser efetivamente reconhecida como um Estado e que essa solução de dois Estados a viver em paz e segurança lado a lado possa finalmente ver a luz do dia. E isto porque quando nós olhamos para as questões essenciais do conflito israelo-palestiniano, vemos que nada mudou. Não mudou a questão dos refugiados, não mudou a questão dos colonatos, não mudou a questão de Jerusalém, e muitas outras questões. Portanto, Sr. Embaixador, desculpe a minha ter sido tão longo, mas se pudesse dar a sua opinião sobre estas questões, agradecia muito.
Let me start with the most complicated answer, which is the easy one, which is a question which is an easy answer for me, the outcome of the American elections. I think we just have to wait. Very simple. First of all, who will win? And I think we also have to see how big the need for a solution will be. So let me leave the answer to this. I come back on a different angle to the answer later. Now, the Arab Spring. And I think this is really our European topic because it's our neighborhood. It's not for us a strategic decision on the on the supply of oil. For us, it's human being, neighbors, and for Portugal even more than for Netherlands or Germany because it's physically much closer. So I think it's our topic. And I think we have to, first of all, discuss this issue because I don't think it is yet in the mind of the people that there is a correlationship. Israelis rightfully say, we are very concerned because we don't know in what direction this will be. Will it become an increased security concern for us? This is a fair question. I think point, if you look at Syria, if you look at the Sinai, which is very difficult. So I think it is a point to take serious. But on the other hand, there is movement in the Arab world. We may like it, we don't like it, there is movement. So as it is, we better try to influence it. And I think this is what we should do. And we Europeans have a better understanding in general what is going on there and how we can do this. And I think beginning we should raise, and also US parliamentarians can say this, look, there is a relationship between the Arab Spring or the movement in the Arab world and the peace process. It's a matter for credibility. The Arabs, in the Arab world, the terminology of democracy is not very popular because it's also misperceived, but the question of justice, very important, all over the world, also in there. But the easy answer for everybody is, do you think Israelis treat Palestine just and you support Israel? You know, this is the easy consequence they take. This is sometimes wrong, by the way, lots of misperceptions, so I don't want to say that this line of argument is correct, but this is a line people use and abuse to create a problem for us. So I think we have to explain that there is something which is moving and that this conflict has to be resolved. First thing, we don't need to go too much into the argument. We just have to raise this issue in the beginning. The third issue, what can the EU do? I would, if I may, turn this question in a little different direction, because there are a lot of things which EU could do, anybody could do, because we know the possible solutions. I think where we are, it is a matter of political will. Does the European Union want to do something? And that's why, with all due respect, I would obviously look at the United States, because they do play an important role. But I think we should develop the self-confidence, saying that also we as a European Union have to say something and have to develop our own position. Obviously, a solution settlement of this conflict will not work without the United States. It's clear for a number of reasons, for many reasons. But I think we should have a say. And we should say, this is our interest, this is what we want, this is what we want, we should state this. This obviously becomes difficult, that's why I come back to my introductory remark. People are very much associating ourselves with either pro-Palestinians or pro-Israelis. If we define it from the interest point of view, it becomes more credible also what we are saying. So it's not about this or that, it's about our own interest, which obviously takes into account your concerns, there's no doubt about it. But I think we should have this self-confidence also as Europeans, in the measure of what we are able to do to define this. And I think also as parliamentarians you can raise this issue and also challenge the government, challenge the European Union to do this. And I need your support for this also very clearly, because we see that it's difficult. It's a difficult task, and with a lot of problems. No politicians, for very understandable reasons, want to get too much involved in this issue, but I think we have to do this because it's in our interest. And the last question. Palestinian as a state, in the end, it's a political decision. If you say from the notion of public international law, which is the accumulation of past experience, we have three criteria for a state to be recognized. It's one is it have population, it exists. Second is have a power over the population, you can already argue. Third is territorial control, also argues. From that point of view, it's difficult. If you can stretch the argument a little bit, but if you're realistic, not really. So in the end, it's a political decision, which one has to take. So there is nobody who tells us not to do this, but obviously, if in reality, this is the experience, the logic experience of every control of every state. If an authority hasn't this, then they will not be able to function as a state. But still, we can set a political signal whether the time for this is ripe or not. We have to see in the circumstances. And that's why I see we first should push for a settlement of this conflict and not for some sort of small steps in between.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Embaixador. Eu deixo-me ser um pouco provocatório nesta minha pergunta. Eu estava a ouvi-lo e tomei nota daqui de um conjunto de interrogações, de perguntas. Constatando nós que a política que definimos, que a Europa definiu, a solução dos dois Estados, está mais longe de ser atingida do que gostaríamos, que a solução do quarteto para a paz não tem sido o sucesso que todos nós gostaríamos que fosse, considerando eventualmente todo o contexto regional que alterou do ponto de vista local a situação, nomeadamente as primeiras árvores, como já falou, nomeadamente a emergência da Turquia enquanto potência da região, da potência do Irão, da potência nuclear e de predominância na região, até do ponto de vista da relação que tem com a Irmandade Muçulmana e com todas as envolvências que tem a nível das Primaveras Árabes, e considerando também do nosso ponto de vista a nossa menor capacidade de falar, de reagir e de agir enquanto a uma só voz, porque nota-se que muitas vezes a Europa quer uma coisa, mas depois cada um dos Estados da Europa quer uma coisa um bocadinho diferente do que quer a Europa no seu total. E a minha pergunta é se de facto existe um espaço para a Europa intervir, se tem um papel significativo para intervir nesta região, não obstante esta área ser vital para nós a nível da nossa subsistência, quer em segurança, quer em óleo, em gás, um conjunto de situações para o nosso, de qual depende o nosso nível de vida europeu, mas de facto pensar se existe um espaço para a Europa intervir, se sabemos de facto o que é que queremos, porque várias vezes o Sr. Embaixador se referiu, nós temos que saber o que é que queremos, mas de facto pensar se sabemos o que é que queremos, e se temos algum espaço para de facto intervir neste contexto, enquanto Europa, neste contexto regional, com uma dimensão um pouco diferente daquela que nós vivemos, quer a nível cultural, quer a nível de religião, quer a nível de um conjunto de formas diferentes de viver. Portanto, eu não tenho, ou gostaria de ter mais a certeza, que de facto nós queremos, sabemos o que queremos e temos espaço para contribuir com o que queremos e com o que sabemos que queremos nesta, para a paz neste espaço do mundo.
I think we know what we want, but we don't say it, and this is the problem. And that's why I come back to this definition of interest. I think it will be easier for us to formulate what we want if we see it from the point of view of interest and not from one of the parties. Again, the general line for the last 20 years has been we leave the solution of the settlement of the conflict to both parties, we give you the frame and you do it. I think we have to realize that this approach didn't work. So then come obviously back to your absolutely fair question, right question. So what do we then want? I think underlining, we know it, probably people say the so-called Clinton parameters, which he left when he left office, what is it now, 8 years ago? No, 12 years ago, what? 8 years ago, whenever he left office. After the elections and really in December, before a few days before he then really left the office, he formulated a couple of parameters, which he said, this is the frame in which we are seeing this. This is something which probably most people would acknowledge as a possible frame for a settlement, but we have never said this because for a number of reasons. So I think, first of all, we have to decide that we want to express our view, our European view. And then I think we have to negotiate what exactly do we want to say. And I'm pretty convinced that we will find a common ground on this, maybe, although it will be also maybe difficult. We have, generally speaking, of the so-called five final status issues, which are Jerusalem, territory, water, refugees, and settlements, right. So these five issues, which, you know, you can reshape them one by the other, but in the end, these are the five issues. We have never spoken about this. What exactly our position is. Maybe we have to start to do this. But again, first of all, we have to make up our decision. Do we want to do this? And again, if we start to say, if you get into the details, then the party A says, well, but this is our business, and party B says this is our business. So maybe we have to say that, yeah, maybe true, but if you don't get your business done, then we Europeans may need to tell you something. Again, we are not there yet. And I think the European Union, in looking at all the 27s, is very carefully moving in this direction. So you can say it's too slow. And I probably would say, yes, it's too slow, but you know politics, how it works. So I don't need to tell you about this. But you can also see that there is a rapprochement over the last months. And the Council conclusions in May, and also conclusions before, have been very, very clearly on this. And I think it turns around the issue of settlement. I think there is an understanding now among European and all the 27 states that the settlements are detrimental for the peace. And there are a lot of things which come out of this. And we probably have to start to say these things as a first step of us Europeans to speak out and to see whether we are able to find a common position of the 27th. This is on the distribution of water among settlements and villages around. This is about the security situation of the Palestinians in Area C. Area A and B is where they have the security responsibility themselves. In Area C, they don't. But there are 200,000 or 130,000 Palestinians living there. The Israeli police doesn't go. So, for example, I mean, there are lots of issues which I think we have to start to spell out, and we can see how much common ground we will find within the European Union, and I think we have to work on this very closely. If we get further, if we get more common ground, we should do. I think we have to work on this. It's very difficult. Again, if we try to approach it from the question of our own interest, it may become easier to find common ground than if we try to associate ourselves to one of the parties. This is, I think, the answer which we have. And I think, do challenge your government, do challenge us as European institution, and say, why not, and go this way.
Só uma pergunta de atualização. Continuam a ser 8 os Estados que reconhecem oficialmente a Palestina dentro da União Europeia? E, porque esse número já era o que havia, aliás, eles já reconheciam antes de entrarem para a União Europeia. Mas sente dentro da União Europeia mais Estados abertos a reconhecerem a Palestina como Estado já? Ou sente que essa questão está à espera de mais resultados?
What I have heard is I think there are some more states ready to this, yes. The time has not come yet, but I think if other means are failing, this discussion will come on the table. I'm not sure whether it will be 27, but I think there will. This is a unilateral approach which countries can say, so my feeling is there will be more.
O senhor embaixador é um diplomata e conhece bem a situação no Médio Oriente, tem passagens por Israel, pela Palestina, e, portanto, tem boas condições para conhecer todas as sensibilidades neste contexto de negociações. Aquilo que eu gostaria de lhe perguntar é, o senhor embaixador disse, temos que saber aquilo que queremos fazer, mas eu acho que uma questão que também seria necessário colocar à União Europeia era saber o que é que está disposta a fazer a União Europeia para conseguir aquilo que quer. Por exemplo, se a União Europeia está disposta a aplicar sanções a Israel, por exemplo. Eu parece-me que isto é um aspecto muito importante e que pode levar a que a União Europeia possa ter, de facto, um papel mais determinante, mais assertivo na tentativa de resolver esta questão. Eu confesso, há pouco o Sr. Embaixador disse que não se trata de sermos pró-israelitas ou pró-palestinianos. Eu acho que já ultrapassámos um bocado essa fase e a única coisa que agora é importante para a União Europeia, porque é algo que nos diz respeito a todos nós, acho que de uma maneira, sem nos apercebermos, acabamos por ser afetados pela não resolução do conflito. Portanto, o que é de facto importante é arranjar uma solução. Outra questão que eu gostava ainda de lhe colocar é que quando nós olhamos, por exemplo, para a estrutura do governo israelita atualmente, nós vemos que são os radicais que detêm os ministérios relacionados com a habitação e que são eles que autorizam até a construção dos colonatos. Há aqui uma dificuldade quase intransponível. Eu lembro o episódio do vice-presidente americano Joe Biden, quando foi cheio de boa vontade a Israel para tentar resolver, para desbloquear o assunto, e foi logo confrontado com a construção de um novo colonato. Há aqui o próprio desenho da Cisjordânia, faixa de Gaza, é fisicamente e geograficamente quase uma impossibilidade da criação do território. A questão da definição das fronteiras, que é essencial, é representa também uma dificuldade quase inultrapassável. Perante este contexto, a única coisa que eu vejo é muitas dificuldades. Eu não estou a ver Israel, por exemplo, a fazer uma coisa que seria essencial, que era desmantelar os colonatos na Cisjordânia. E se isso não acontecer, como é que é possível haver um Estado? Portanto, houve aquilo que se pôde perceber com a tentativa de reconhecimento no Conselho de Segurança por parte da Palestina, do reconhecimento do Estado da Palestina. Isso permite ver que, por exemplo, se houvesse, e aqui deixo-lhe esta questão, se houvesse um avanço no sentido de ser a Assembleia Geral das Nações Unidas a fazer o reconhecimento do Estado da Palestina, o que é que poderia daí acontecer? Seria possível que isso acontecesse? Que consequências é que daí viriam? No sentido de se tentar forçar um bocado a resolução deste problema, se seria ou não desejável. Fico-me por aqui. Não. Obrigado.
First, to the question of sanctions. This discussion, as you know, has existed since a long time. I don't believe that we will find consensus yet within the European Union on EU sanctions. But I do feel that there are areas where it is possible. One of the issues which are more symbolic than real are the question of the importation of products from settlements into the European Union. The importation is not forbidden, but it's a matter of to what conditions. Israel has this agreement with the European Union to import settlements from Israel tax-free, tax-free basically, and we say products from the Israel in the borders of 1967, but not from settlements. I think we have now an understanding in the European Union that we will support this approach. We will find other issues, and I will draw your attention to one area which I think we can start to discuss on nationally and also in the European Union. And that is a question of territorial scope of the agreements which we conclude with Israel. Which you as Portugal conclude, and which you as the European Union conclude. We say, obviously, we can only conclude an agreement with the other country in the territory we accept, not in a territory they occupy. Lots of agreements are vague on this. And I think, and this is part of the international law, the principles we have accepted since a long time, that we look sharply and they look certain institutions which are in settlements are not entitled to have benefits which we have organized between Israel and the Palestinian territory. For example, these are small things, these are not sanctions, but these are symbolic acts which I think should show that the European Union means business. And I think we should be clear with this. The European Parliament goes one step further. They basically say we don't want to have an upgrading of the EU Israel relations unless there is an improvement in the peace process. So they are more radical on this. Governments at the 27 at least are not ready there yet, but the European Parliament in its majority has taken this position. So you can see that these things are developing. We are telling the Israelis, look, if I were you, we would be very careful, because what you're doing now is right now is you lose the European center, not the fringe on the right, but you risk to lose the support of the central part of the European establishment. If I were Israeli, I would be very concerned about this. And I think we have to be frank in telling them that this is the situation happening. And we have, as politicians, should fight against this also in Europe, because it's very dangerous. It can bring us in a very dangerous path. And obviously, I, as a German, can have a particularly concerned about this. But we would be. We don't want to go there. But Israel also has to give its contribution to this. And I think what we can do is, we could speak publicly about these things. Up to now, we tend to say these behind closed doors, which is important. But if we see there's no reaction, I think we have to start to say it publicly to our people and also to Israelis and also to Palestinians. And I think we should also speak out not only to Israelis, also to Palestinians. Human rights issue. The remains record on the Palestinian side is not perfect. There's certainly room for improvement. Universities, certainly room for improvement. Education, I think if they get 436 million euro every year from us, I think we're entitled to say that, look, you have to be better. We shouldn't shy away because they say, you know, these poor people here, these poor people there. It's, again, part of our interest. We're giving them money, and they should deliver for this. I mean, we shouldn't say it as blunt as I say. You know, obviously, we have to put it in a correct context. But I think we should tell both sides this, how we get respect also in this in these countries. We should help them, obviously, but you know yourself, money is not all. There are also political decisions to take on the educational field and other fields, and we should ask them to do this. It's unacceptable that the legal system in the Palestinian states is not, after 10 years or 20 years we are trying to develop it, is still not in a position where the judges are able to decide and the judgments are able to be implemented by the police. There's still things which happen. Your question is, how can we have a state with these borders? This is the clear problem which we are facing. If we recognize Palestine as a state, or some states recognize Palestine as a state, this conflict becomes clearly an international conflict. It is a conflict of occupation. So the Fourth Geneva Convention is applicable. This is a legal aspect, but a lot of aspect. If it becomes, if you recognize a state, then a country recognize, one country occupies another state or territories of another state, particularly if recognize in particular borders. So it becomes a different legal aspect, and it becomes much clearer that the recognizing state wants these borders. What probably most people would say, we recognize the state in these borders unless they agree otherwise mutually, which obviously all the states can do, but for the moment this is the position. So it would make it to an international conflict with all the consequences which are stemming out of it. And what this will mean in the European Union, if some states have really recognized it like this and others not, we have to find out. Like always, it's a movement, and we have to find ways and means to advance the situation. But this would be the consequences of a recognition of the state of Palestine without clear borders, but we define the border through the recognition.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Embaixador, pelo seu contributo, pelo seu, seu testemunho, que é muito importante para nós, até porque temos um contributo e um testemunho imparcial da situação no Meio Oriente. Tenho certeza que pode contar com a Comissão de Negócios Estrangeiros para, no que depender, para o seu trabalho e, portanto, para a promoção de um conjunto de iniciativas sobre esta área, com o governo português, com certeza também. Aliás, o governo português recentemente foi defensor exatamente na questão da Palestina e do upgrade da situação da Palestina, foi defensor da tomada de posição conjunta da Europa sobre este tema. Portanto, foi exatamente nesse sentido que foi a posição do governo português. Infelizmente não foi possível ter uma posição conjunta de todos os países europeus, mas foi possível ter uma posição conjunta de um conjunto de países dentro da União Europeia. Mas dizia, a nossa disponibilidade enquanto Comissão de Negócios Estrangeiros para colaborar no que for necessário, certamente os partidos que aqui estão envolvidos, que são partidos do arco da governabilidade e que, e da responsabilidade nestas questões, têm toda a disponibilidade para o precisar de nós e dos nossos partidos para poder contar com isso. Muito obrigado.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for also for the opportunity. So I can first of all answer with the only word in Portuguese which I learned today, which is obrigado. thank you for this opportunity. And appreciate your sense and your support. It's a big task. And let me finish with a different plea, which goes in the same direction. Many of us in Brussels, also when the European ambassadors came back, were complaining and say, Europe is losing international support because of the euro crisis. And people ask us all the time on the euro. My answer is, European Union, and we are democracies, we are learning institutions, we have a problem, sure, but we are resolving those problems, whereas you, the problems in your countries are still in front of you. They will come to you also, don't worry about this. We will resolve these problems, and we will come back stronger, and particularly you and we working international affairs, we know that our countries alone will not be able to face the international challenge. We have to do it together. And everybody who challenges this, I tell them, let's see back in 5 years, we are stronger than that, so don't lose us in the middle. So I think this I wanted to say, and I think we should be self-confident as Europeans, and I'm sure we will contribute and defend our interests in the future all together.